You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, everyone. I'm Hillary Kerr, and this is Life Lessons, a podcast spotlighting women who have incredible careers within a single field or industry. We talk about everything from how they got their start to the best things they've learned along the way. Today, I am so excited to have Laura Vassar, the co-founder and designer of the incredible brand Brock Collection, in the studio with me. Brock Collection is truly beloved by the fashion community, and I personally have been tracking Laura's work since she co-founded the company in 2014. Of course, I'm not the only one who's been watching. Brock Collection was part of the 2016 CFDA Vogue Fashion Fund process and actually won the competition that year, only 2 years after launching, which is truly a huge deal. The brand is now available in over 60 stores around the world with a plan for doubling the number of doors in the next 2 years. And personally, based upon the strength of what I've seen thus far, I am confident that Laura and the team can do just that. With no further ado, it's designer Laura Vassar of Brock Collection, now on Life Lessons. So, Laura, on this podcast, we like to start at the beginning. So what did you study in school and what did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
So in high school, I started to make clothes. And
really?
Yeah. I would be with my nanny and the woman who's been with us for ages, Maria. We would be making clothes and I didn't know what capacity or what I really wanted to do with that, but I was always interested in clothes.
So like you would go and like pick out fabric and patterns and sew things like that hands-on?
Yeah, I wanted to wear something to prom that no one had had. So I would go to the fabric store and I would pick out fabric and Maria would teach me how to sew. And I remember making dresses and doing that in high school. So
well, tell me about what that prom dress looked like.
It was terrible. It was the worst looking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Did you love it?
I loved it at the time. It was strapless fuchsia with like all of these ruffles. And now thinking back, I'm like, ruffles. Okay. I had a point of view.
That is a point of view for sure. So you thought you would work in fashion.
Yeah.
What did you go to school for?
So then after high school, I went to Loyola Marymount University and I studied journalism. And I didn't know if I wanted to be in styling or journalism or what part of the fashion industry I wanted to really be in. So it was a good experience for me to get that college life experience at LMU. Mm-hmm. And after 4 years of being there, I went to Parsons and I transferred and moved to New York City.
So for our audience that doesn't necessarily know a lot about Parsons, can you explain a little bit about the school and what sort of things you were studying there?
Of course. Parsons was one of the most influential experiences of my entire career. You are surrounded by the most brilliant, creative people that are all, you know, they're all interested in different aspects of the business, which is really important to be around, I think, as a creative. Everyone understood one another in a way that I hadn't understood before. The experience that I took out of Parsons was that it's very hands-off, so you really have to make the most of it.
So were you taking like sewing classes? I have no idea what the curriculum in fashion school is like.
It's interesting because the program that I was in, it's an AAS program, and it's kind of a just condensed program. So it's a 2-year program. Mm-hmm. And you're in classes, you're in sketching, color theory, marketing, different drawing classes.
So you're getting some
oil
business
painting,
stuff.
Pattern making. So business bits of it and just the whole compass of the fashion industry.
Wow. I didn't realize that you got to do pattern making too. What is that class like?
That was definitely my least favorite. It was challenging. That was definitely the most challenging for me is pattern making.
And by that, we should clarify, we mean patterns for clothes, not patterns in prints for fabrics, correct?
Exactly. Patterns for clothes.
So like the skeleton of the dress,
yeah.
or the blueprint for the jacket.
Exactly.
Got
and
it.
My partner, Christopher, is really good on the pattern making end, whereas I'm better in the draping end. So while I would be like draping my projects with fabric and really hands on, he was more a pen to paper and mathematical in terms of how to build a garment.
Okay, so tell me about draping, because that's another thing
yeah.
that I don't have any experience with. Do you mean like literally taking a piece of fabric and draping it on a mannequin and like tucking and pinning and figuring out where something would go?
Exactly. So draping is just a different way to make clothes. This aspect of making a collection is probably my favorite. I like to drape on the body. So you start with just the basic form of a dress, and then we use fit models, and you really make the dress come to life on the woman. We'll take like tape and like wrap it around her waist and then cut the ruffles and pin them on. Or like, you know, every dress that you see in our collection is typically draped on
a live person.
On a live person. Yeah.
That's so crazy. So why do you like working that way? What is it about it? Because it almost feels sculptural what you're doing. Like you're making something out of clay, except it's fabric and there's a real human there.
Yeah, for me, it's really about how she's feeling. So we work really closely with our fit models, and ask her, where do you want the waist? How does it feel? Like, where do you want those ruffles? What about the pleats? And everything really comes to life in that first fitting, and things change drastically, and just, it's kind of an intuitive process.
That's so cool. I had no idea what that like day-to-day is like. What fabric are you using for that? Are you using muslin? Are you using the real fabric that you would want to make something out of? Or is that too expensive? How does that piece of it work?
Yeah, in the first fittings, we like to just be very basic and just do whatever's most cost-efficient and not wasteful. So we will use muslin for the first fitting and do as many changes as we possibly can in that first fitting. And then the second proto, if we have fabric that we hadn't used in the past, we like to make use of it and put the first protos in fabrics that we have laying around that will be similar to what it will actually be in the end.
So it's like you're recycling from your
exactly,
old work.
Always.
I like that. So were you working while you were at LMU and at Parsons, or interning or doing anything on the side, or was it all school all the time for you?
Oh, no, definitely not. I always had my hands in different things. When I was at LMU, I started to style. So I would work with various stylists and...
You worked with Petra, right?
I did. We love Petra.
So for those of you who don't know, Petra Flannery is an amazing, incredible stylist. She actually just styled a recent Who What Wear cover shoot that we did with Zoe
yeah.
Saldana. She is
beautiful.
Like one of the queens of the red carpet world. How did you get hooked up with Petra, and what kind of stuff were you learning from her?
She was the best boss that I could have asked for. In college, I would work with her as an assistant and, you know, whether it be a photo shoot or styling for the red carpet or working with girls, anything from personal shopping to going to New York and working with them on, you know, all of the shows. It was definitely where I understood what women want.
Because I was going to say, thinking back on it now, one thing that as a woman who buys clothes, I sometimes get frustrated with is that you'll see something that's really beautiful, but it's almost like the designer didn't think about the actual human who would
yep.
wear it. And one of the things that I think you do so beautifully is it's very clear that it's designed with a actual human woman
mm-hmm.
in mind. And I was wondering if you thought some of that earlier styling days, even though obviously, models and celebrities are not exactly like your average civilian woman, but at the same time, like they have real insecurities and real concerns and their own real things. Was that a formative influence in terms of your design process?
Absolutely. And it's so funny that you mentioned that, because you hit the nail on the head when it's like you need to listen to what women want. And everyone has different insecurities or needs and wishes and the way that they want to feel when they're out in the world and listening to the women in the room and listening to what they wanted out of a dress, where things should hit, what they want to cover, what they don't want to cover, how they want to feel, what colors look best, where, you know, that neckline should fall exactly. I think that's the most important part about making clothes, is to hear what makes them feel their best.
And you got such a crash course in that working with Petra. That's
absolutely
amazing. Also, she has like an incredible eye for tailoring and fit, which
she's
also think could have been very helpful as well.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned you met your business partner mm-hmm. in school, and
yeah.
you had different strengths, you said?
We did. We met at the end, the very tail end of our time at Parsons, and we kind of started just working together on projects. And
did you like collaborating with someone, or did you like working on your own better?
I like both for different reasons and different things. When I'm like creating a dress or a garment, like I kind of have to be in my own head and sort it out on my own before I bring anyone else in. But when it comes to the way that Chris and I work together, we work together really well because he has one skill, like a set of skill sets, and I have a different set completely. So it's quite interesting.
So what was it like working together in those early days? What sort of, how did you even start?
I think he approached me and he was like, why don't we work on your dress for an hour and then mine for an hour? And we would do that and he would sew my things together and then I would like pick out his fabrics. So that we just started working collaboratively together on different aspects of the garments.
And did you feel like it was better when you had the two minds?
It was. We have a really great working relationship, and what he lacks, I have, and what I lack, he has. So working together is a really good, it's a good team.
So you graduated from Parsons.
Yes.
And then you didn't start Brock for another few years. So what were you doing in the meantime?
After Parsons, I got this opportunity to intern for Olivier at Theory. And I just jumped on that. So I left Parsons and I was able to be in the room with Olivier. And it was such a small team that learning how he worked and how a fashion company, a label actually operates, that time there was really valuable to me.
I was going to say, had you worked for a fashion label before at that point?
I hadn't worked for a designer mm-hmm. at that point. You know, I was just like building my library of how to put together a collection. I worked in Moda Operandi and I would style every single collection and see every garment in a runway show. And so I did that. I styled there. I worked with Petra and with Olivier. It was one of the most beautiful experiences that I've ever had. We would get a roll of fabric from downstairs and he would roll it out onto the carpet, and the fit model Jill at the time would be there, and he would just take the scissors and he would cut the fabric as if it were a pattern on a dress. And then he would pin it together, and then he would, you know, and he would drape it. And I hope it's okay that I'm saying this. And he would drape it on Jill. He would spend all day making one dress.
Wow.
And the love and the attention to detail and the time and that he took to make it perfect was just, it was really fascinating. And in that room and in that time there, I, you know, learned a lot about what it took to build not only dresses, but an entire collection.
So what were your hours like, and what were your responsibilities like, and what was your life like at that point in time?
Yeah, I started as an intern, and so I would do anything from, you know, just anything.
Where did your work ethic come from and that sense of passion where you would do anything?
Yeah, I think it's important to always know that you will do anything, and to understand every single part of the process is really important. My work ethic is from my father. He's always just challenged me and pushed me to be the best of my ability and never say no.
Got it.
You know, so yeah. But I do think that that's in everyone.
And do you think part of the work ethic came from the fact that you loved what you were doing?
Oh, for
you were
sure.
working with an artist.
Absolutely.
I mean, just to contextualize, like, he's an incredible, incredible designer. And like basically like a boy wonder, too. He started at a really young age, mm-hmm. if memory serves, and then went to Theory. And I just remember, I think I bought every dress that he made during that time.
Oh, my God. And don't you remember the collection when it first launched? It was like the bright blue, royal blue pants and the cut of those pants and all of the dresses. And it was really magical. He's an incredible talent.
So you started as an intern, mm-hmm. doing anything that you needed to do.
Yeah.
What happened next?
just working on the collections with him, that was, you know, that's really where I understood, okay, I want to do this. And Chris and I kind of started working downstairs in our apartment in New York, and we started to put together a collection.
So you're working full time.
Yeah.
And then
I was also at Moda. And on the side, Chris was tailoring. And so he was working as a tailor on sets, and he was doing various jobs. And we lived together in South Street Seaport. And in our basement, we just started to put together a collection. And
what was the point of view?
The point of view was floral. Believe it.
Florals.
And I remember we had, you know, we were just like, we know what we want to do. We know we want to make a collection of women's wear. And the idea was to make pieces that you couldn't find anywhere else, that were easy to wear, that were romantic, that were special, but not too precious. When I think back on this, we were in Paris. We were with Don and Denise, who own Amaury's in Newport Beach. And we said, we want to create a collection. And Don had this idea. She said, why don't you take the fabrics that a mill, this really special mill in France, has laying around and see what you can do with it so we're not wasteful. And let's see what you can do with those fabrics.
So like remnant and fabric?
Yes.
Essentially?
Yes. So we called up the mill and our friend who is still there, Baptiste, and we said, what fabrics do you have laying around? Can we use them? And so he sent us fabrics to our apartment in New York, and Chris made patterns, and I drew the collection, and he drew the collection too, and we showed it to a few pattern makers in New York. They put the pieces together, and the next season we went back to Paris with the full collection.
I mean, that's so insane. So how many pieces did you design initially, do you think?
Oh, my God. There was a bomber jacket. There was a floral shirt, a few floral dresses, a few slip dresses. It was a full two racks of clothes, and we didn't really know what we were going to do with it. And my girlfriend worked at Vogue at the time, and she didn't really promise anything. She's like, okay, guys, let me see the clothes, and then we'll see what to do. So we were at my girlfriend's apartment, and we're like, here they are. And she looked at the racks of clothes, and she called everyone in.
Really?
Yes. And so she, that season in Paris, Cynthia called in, you know, made appointments with all of the editors for Vogue to come see. And then the girls at Amaury's called all of the retail shops. And so we had everyone from Ecrom to 4510 to, you know, Barney's and everyone in that one season coming to just take a look.
So you were already in Paris with this collection.
Yeah.
You just flew to Paris and brought clothes with you and thought,
yep,
like, we'll set up appointments?
That's what we did. I know.
Like, so with one contact, basically, two if you include stores.
Exactly, yeah.
So you have just one friend contacts from this fabulous store in Newport and one friend who works at Vogue and two racks of clothes, and that was your whole plan?
Well, we, of course, had other, you know, people that were coming to see.
Because you just knew them from being in the fashion
industry? Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you just basically were like—
But we didn't expect to really sell it. We didn't. We were just kind of wanting to show the world, like, hey, this is what we've got.
So it wasn't even a presentation. It was just like you guys in a room with a rack
with
of clothes.
Mm-hmm. And then we got our first order. And then we called in all of our friends who were designers. So we're like, okay, so we have this collection. People want to buy it. People want to shoot it. So what do we do? And so then at that point, the work began.
Oh, my gosh. So who were the first orders from?
Stephanie, a shop in Arizona, who's actually one of our neighbors now, which is so, it's such a small world. We had a Sharpie, and like on like a just white piece of paper, she just wrote this huge order down. We're like, okay, order number one. I think we still have it.
Wow.
And Amaury's 4510. We had Barney's come look at the collection. We had the girls from Neiman Marcus come look at the collection. We had a handful of orders.
From specialty boutiques.
Specialty boutiques
around the
world.
U.S.
In the U.S., yeah.
Wow. Okay, so did you know what the timeline would be? Was this like, was it spring and you were showing fall, or was it fall and you were showing spring?
It was a fall collection, so it was January. Vogue put up the article and launched the collection.
So
Vogue and Moda Operandi.
Good God. So you now have orders. And you have 6 months to produce things. How did you do that?
So then we called in our business advisors and we're like, okay, so we definitely need your help. And, you know, business advisors and designers and friends, and they mapped out the business plan and how we really are meant to operate. And so then it just was like we hit the ground running and we had the collection produced in New York, and we were on time with our deliveries.
Whoa.
And it was really exciting.
So you have that first collection.
Yeah.
It's working. Then at the same time, you're working on new collections.
Yeah.
How did that feel? And were you excited about the fact that things, I mean, that's like a real Cinderella story.
Knock on wood. You know, it was really special. It was cool.
What was that first fall 14 collection like versus your first more formal presentation, which I think was New York Fashion Week fall 15?
Fall 15, yes. And we did a presentation prior to that. We did a spring presentation, which was more of like a standing presentation format. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we started with lookbook, and then we quickly realized that we wanted to do this in a bigger way. So we called in stylists, and I went to PV, which is this fabric show in Paris, and I was 7 months pregnant. It was like I was actually almost past the travel time. And I remember just looking through every single fabric and being like so pregnant. People were like, are you okay? I'm fine. That time period, we were just so passionate about our business and how to grow it that we just were all in. I remember in our first presentation, the standing one, people were walking in the door, and the door there was a huge line outside the door, and the models weren't lined up yet. And so we were like just sweating. We're like, oh my goodness. And we had the board of like where the models should be placed, and we're just directing them, you here, you here, you here. And then we opened the doors, and it was really organic the way that it all happened. But it was, there's no right time, right? You mm-hmm. just got to do it. And you just have to go for it. And that's kind of what we did with our first presentation. And then for fall winter, one of our first runway shows, that was the most exhilarating experience, doing your first runway show.
What was your favorite part about it?
My favorite part is always when the girls are lined up just before they go on the runway and tweaking and fixing their looks and seeing how they feel. Like, you know, a lot of the girls are always like, this is my favorite dress. I can't thank you for letting me wear this dress. Or like seeing how they love the clothes is really special to me.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So the fall 15 collection got picked up by Barney's.
Yes.
So how did that change your business? And was that sort of another pinch me moment?
It really was. You know, we had been talking to Barney's for a few seasons, and we knew that our brand really fits well with the Barney's customer. And when they picked up the collection, it was such a beautiful partnership. And we were so happy that they were on board and really behind Brock. And from that point, our business changed. It put us on the map in the retail world. Barney's always they set the trends.
Well, I feel like there's that moment, like Vogue can anoint you. Barney's anoints you in a different way. And then, you know, it's meaningful because there's, you know, that's a real business coup
yeah.
to be in Barney's. And it says something to the rest of the world if you're in Barney's. So
yeah.
I can imagine that would be a very heady moment. You also did something really amazing, which is you went through the CFDA Vogue Fashion Fund process and won it. So that was in 2016. Tell me what that process is like. I've spoken to Jen Meyer about it. I've, you know, heard how intense it is and how incredibly beneficial it is. But what was the impetus for deciding to be a part of that? And what was the process actually like for you?
The CFDA Vogue Fashion Fund was life-changing for Chris and I as business owners and our brand. It really, I just got the chills because it was truly one of the most important decisions and periods of time in our career.
How long does it take?
It was a year. The process was a year.
So over the course of a year, there are almost like different challenges and different things that you have to do from business and also from a more artistic point of view. Can you walk me through some
Absolutely.
Of that process?
So what the fund does is they really push you to hone in on your business. They put you through 10 challenges that all serve different purposes. So you're taking a look at your actual business and the numbers and where you need to get your sales, the growth. They're taking a look at the brand and the point of view of the brand. They make you hone in on that point of view and really stick behind it. Everything from public speaking to presenting to everything you really need to do to be the face of a brand.
So it's kind of like getting an MBA in a fashion brand.
Exactly.
I mean, that sounds also really intense. How do you manage to do that at the same time you're running your actual business? Because it's a new business. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of resources. And then to have this other layer on top of it, that seems like a lot of extra work.
What they do is they force you to do the right work. And I think that was one of the things that we took out of it was, oh, okay, we really need to figure this bit out. We need to figure that bit out. And you actually are working on your business as you're going through the process. And again, you know, you have to call in your support system. And as we're working on the CFDA Fashion Fund challenges, we have a team that is so incredible that they are helping to run our business.
So at that point, how many people were working for you?
At that point, we were six, including
the two of you.
Yeah.
So that's a small team. A, how do you hire for those positions? And B, what were those positions? Were those all in like the design world, or was it like someone who's a manufacturing expert or someone who was running the books?
At the time, our business was really quite small. So we had production, studio director, development director, CFO, Christopher, myself, and then we work with an outside PR team and stylist. So maybe we were bigger than six, but
that's still very small.
It was still a pretty small team.
Got it. Okay. So with the win comes a mentorship, and you were paired with Tom Ford. Can you tell me about that experience with everyone's favorite Virgo?
Everyone's favorite Virgo, absolutely. Our experience with Mr. Ford was, I mean, he was the one who told us that, you know, the brands that do well are those that have a crystal clear vision of who they are and do not waver and stick with who you are, stick with the brand essence, the core. And he changed our brand completely.
In what way?
In making us hone in on who we are. Who, you know, when we walked into our first meeting, he was like, I don't see your brand. And so we had
That's scary.
It was, yeah. And so we really revisited the entire brand. He, you know, helped us define this idea of Brock being raw American romance. And if it's not romantic and if it's not floral, if it's not who we are, then get rid of it.
So I love that you have such a clear point of view. How does that point of view, though, allow for development? Because you have to also evolve as a brand. You can't give the same collection every season. You have to give newness. There has to be a point of view and a reference. How do you evolve something while still staying true to the brand?
I always ask myself, what's romantic? What's a new way to do romance? Is it dark? Is it free? Is it really kind of moody? What is her idea of romance right now? Because everything is romantic.
And it changes.
And it changes.
So on that note, where do you draw inspiration? Is it art? Is it music? Is it film? When you know, okay, I have to design the next season, I'm feeling empty, or I'm just feeling busy because I have a family and a business and a life. What do you do to fill that creative well back up?
The process of designing a new collection is, it's always different. I always start with the idea of what is your idea of romance right now? Like, it comes from within. And how can you push that? How do you evolve it? What does she want to be wearing now? What's the next thing? A lot of the inspiration comes from the fabric. When we go through the mills in Italy and in France and we are inspired by the fabrics that we see, then you imagine what you can make with it. So it's like, what do you want to wear in this big fat burlap? You know, maybe a simple silhouette.
Yeah.
Or like, what do you want to wear in this lace, like lingerie with cutout? So a lot of it starts with the fabric and you imagine what you want to wear in that fabric.
Okay. In 2018, you guys signed an exclusive partnership to expand Brock internationally. And I know that you have pretty aggressive plans for expanding over the next couple of years. What does that deal mean for you on a day-to-day basis and overall? How does it affect what you do?
We are so fortunate enough to have partnered with Onward Luxury Group as our licensing partner for the ready-to-wear. And in this partnership, all of our product, everything is done, made in Italy. So what we do with them is we design the collection, we fit the collection, and we work really closely with them on the development of the collection. And Onward produces, develops, and sells the collection. So now, you know, we're able to be guided in the way that we can expand our business working closely with them.
That's so cool. Tell me about some of the biggest wins that you've experienced with Brock and some of the biggest mistakes you've made, because I think it's important to talk about both.
Absolutely.
It's important to celebrate, like, this happened and it was phenomenal and we were so excited, and then this happened and it was awful and I learned so much from it.
Yeah. You know, so many of the wins are, as they happen, you're just like, oh my God, you just start pinching yourself, you know, with Barney's buying the first collection, with Net-a-Porter picking up our spring 2018 collection. The collection was so nerve-wracking. I remember not sleeping the night before we put this collection down the runway. At the time in the world, it was kind of quite sad. And we just wanted to make a really beautiful collection that women wanted to wear. And it was simple. And Net-a-Porter picked it up, and that changed our business. That was one of the wins where I was like, oh my God.
This is real.
This is really exciting. The women want to wear our clothes,
yeah.
You know? And then the mistakes I think that we've made, it's really important to strike while the iron is hot. Definitely when you start to listen to too many opinions, it could get confusing. So that is a mistake that we've made.
I always feel like it's such a hard thing where it's like you respect other opinions and you need to take in outside guidance to a degree. But at the end of the day, it's your brand.
Yeah.
You know what's right for your company,
yeah,
in a way that no one else, even no matter how smart they are, no matter what, you know, their trajectory or history is, it's still not, they're not in the day-to-day with you. They didn't create it out of nothing. So it's this hard thing where it's like, I think it can feel arrogant to say, thanks for your advice, but no. But sometimes it's the most important thing.
Yeah, it's true. And I have that problem. I'm always like, I listen to everyone's opinions and I'm always like welcoming as many as possible. But I think that that's all learning.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to listen. But at the end of the day, you have to go back to the drawing board and say, what is right for my brand? And listen to who you really are and don't waver from that point of view.
Yeah. So when you're thinking about what's coming up next,
yeah,
and next goals, what would the next sort of pinch me moment be?
You know, I feel so lucky right now, to be honest with you, by the way things are going, that I think the goal is to just reach as many women as possible.
Okay, that's so expansion.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So what are some of the biggest life lessons that you've learned so far in your career? And what is the best advice that you could give someone who wants to emulate what you've done with your work?
I think, you know, the best advice is to not be afraid and to do your work from your heart and not waver with your vision. And then the learning lessons are to never doubt yourself, to just always stay true to your heart and just to continue to believe in what you're doing.
That's good advice. We're done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this. That was the co-founder and designer of Brock Collection, Laura Vassar. Stay tuned on Wednesdays for more life lessons with incredible women like Laura. If you like today's show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to rate and review us. It makes a huge difference. We love seeing you spread the word on social and would appreciate it if you'd share your life lessons by using the hashtag LifeLessonsPod. I look forward to seeing your wisdom. We will retweet it. We will regram it. So please consider sharing. We always want to know who you'd like to hear from on the show. So send in your request the old-fashioned way to hello@secondlifepod.com, or you can DM me on Instagram. I'm @HillaryKerr. The show is Second Life Pod. Our DMs are always open. I'm Hillary Kerr, and you've been listening to Life Lessons.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.